NPR. This is KO4 LAP. How you doing today?
Hey, KO4 Lima Echo Papa. This is in 0TR. Name's Tom. And I was just opening a can of ginger ale and sitting here relaxing, and you hear noises in the background. That's Bernice's exercise chair. Over.
It's nice to meet you, Tom. I'm new into the airways here. I got my license yesterday, checked into a net, met some people. I'm on my way home, stopped off at the gas station to buy some lotto tickets because the Powerball is big tonight. Over.
Good luck on that. Give me your name, Ralph, Ernie, Tom, mine's Tom, go ahead.
Hi Tom, my name's Brian, I'll go by Brian, that's the best thing, it's what I've been going for 50 years, so I might as well continue. I'm in Greenville, and like I said, I'm just trying out a new hobby.
Since Brian, it's a fine hobby, this is a fine repeater. Boy, you're getting up there in years, I'll be 73 the 22nd.
Wow, happy birthday, Tom. It's really good to hear that, 73. What'd you do before you retired? I assume you retired.
I retired. I was an electrician and electronic technician in a very large machine shop for my first 32 years after I got out of the Navy. And after that, they shut the plant down, and I went to various other jobs as the same kind of technician.
I'm a Navy man myself. I was a nuke machinist mate on a submarine for a while. Got a commission as an officer through ROTC. Finished up my career with the Navy on the USS Enterprise as a lieutenant commander. And now I work for a big company here in town that makes gas turbines. You might be able to guess who that is.
And thank you for your service. I was an AE, and they come out with a new rating, AW, and I flew on the S-2 Tracker. They were the twin reciprocating aircraft before the S-3s, the jets that you're familiar with. And then I put in for duty with Brother, and I flew with a VP-47 up in Moffett Field. A year and a half, 2 years, and with my brother, he was a personnelman, a master chief, but I didn't stay in. I got out, and it was, we both actually went on our senior cruise to Vietnam, Brian, and I stood right under the Enterprise with its 8 nuclear reactors, and wow, that's some ship. Our barracks was right there at the Coronado Gate in San Diego when I was in VS-33.
It was a big ship, but it was big in an unfriendly kind of way. There were so many people on that ship, and it's weird. The people that I remember, the people that I know from my Navy days, they all came from smaller ships. I was on a destroyer, USS Benfold. I have probably 100 people I still talk to from that crew of 300, and maybe 2 from the USS Enterprise. So it's kind of funny how that worked out.
I was I was in a flight crew, and there was just 4 of us on that S-2. And I started out in seat 3 at radar, electronic countermeasures, magnetic anomaly detection, and sniffer. And then I went to Julie and Jezebel, the acoustical warfare side. And I had a few friends there, and a few I've stayed in touch with. And then I went to the P-3 squadron, and I just, mostly knew your crew and not so much everybody else. And gosh, after flying all that time, you were pretty pooped. And it was an experience, though, and interesting. Well, I can tell you this, you were in the top 10% of the cream of the crop of the Navy. You didn't get into the nuclear program unless you had a lot of smarts.
Well, maybe that's true. Maybe I was in the top 10%, but I really feel like I was maybe in the 10th percentile, the bottom of the pile. There were a lot of smart people around me, I know that's for sure. I always felt a little bit behind the curve, but enjoyed it anyway. It was a good time.
Yeah, I have a friend, and I can't remember his name, Rick, and Bernice, I don't remember his last name, He was a machinist mate, nuclear, and I can't remember. I think he was on attack boats, not boomers. And while he used to come to the Oktoberfest that my daughter puts on every year, but this year she didn't because, well, I think they had a few people over because of the COVID virus. But she's been with General Electric 15 years, and she works down there, well, what do you call her, Bernice? Some kind of manager. Anyway, she juggles money around up there.
I'll have to look out for her, see if I can figure out who that is. I've been there 20 years, starting, I think it's February 1st is my anniversary, my 20-year anniversary. It's amazing how fast the time flies. Seen the company, you know, from its best to its worst. We're kind of bouncing back from its worst right now. It's been a rough few years, but we're hoping for a good future coming up.
JR with KO4LEP. Well, Brian, I'll tell you what. When Amy went to work for him, we was pretty poor. We lived up in Kansas for 62 and a half years. And my wife and I, we bought 50 shares of GE, and it was about $48 a share. And I still have those 50 shares, and I think last time I looked, which had been a long time ago, they was worth about $8 a share.
Yeah, Roger, I think we're around, I don't know, somewhere around $13 right now, something like that. They just gave the CEO a $45 million bonus. He gets more money if he gets the shares priced up to somewhere around $16, $17. So that's kind of where the future is going to take us as far as anybody can see. I'll take it. It's better. I think when I started there, share prices were around $62. It was 2001, right at the height of our bubble here in Greenville. We were making money hand over fist, and it just has never been the same.
Roger. How many years was you in the Navy, Brian?
10 years on active duty, and then I was in the reserves here in Greenville, drilling out in Donaldson Center for a while. I ran a unit out there during the Afghanistan and the rest of the Gulf activity that kind of resupplied people to ships that needed them, and we kind of sent them out of Greenville, and I took care of that for 12 more years, and then retired.
Well, I was going to tell you that ginger ale went down the wrong way. Brian, I've been a ham for about 27 years now, and there's a lot of great guys on here. And our daughter's name is Amy Funky, and you can't forget that, because back in the old days, if you was funky, you know, you got down and funky, F-U-N-K-E.
You know, Tom, I know Amy. I know her really well, and I actually have met you. You may remember this. We were over at Palmetto Armory. We went shooting one day. Me, you, Amy, and I think your wife was there.
Isn't that a coincidence, Brian? Yeah. Yeah, we were. There were some guys there who had some pretty good iron from GE.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. We ought to do that again. I'm going to have to ping Amy tomorrow, tell her I talked to you on the radio, tell her I made a new friend, and it's her dad. And we'll head over there again.
I'll tell you, Brian, she's pretty wonderful. She was, we took down the birthday present for our youngest son, our grandson, Jordan, today. And Isaac, he's doing some kind of weightlifting program, and he was actually down at the batting cages today. Amy does so much with those children. It's just unbelievable. So we missed her, and we've been trying to stay away as much as we can. And we wear masks when we go down there. But I still get a hug or two. But Isaac Jiminy, he's 14 now, Bernice. And Isaac is 6'2 or 6'3 and wears a size 15 shoe, Brian.
Kid, I haven't seen him in a few years. Maybe last time I saw him was over at a Super Bowl party about 2 years ago at a friend's house, a common friend's house. I got a son that's a big guy, too. And, you know, every time I see Amy's kid's pictures on Facebook, I always think, that looks like my son, Zach, because he's about, you know, I'm 5'11". My son shot up past me this year. He's probably about 6 feet now, maybe 6'1", and just keeps getting bigger. Maybe not quite as big as Isaac, but a big guy nonetheless.
All right.
He's 14, turned 14 in August, so he's big for his age.
I should say so. They're building bigger nowadays. Well, I'm about the same size you are. Well, you'll have to join the Greer Amateur Radio Club when it gets back to going. Wow, there's a plethora of very, very nice people there, extremely smart people there that will help you in any way possible if you actually get into any HF. And that depends if you're living in HOA or not. But it's a great club. Meets once a month. And then there's the Brawlers Club. I haven't attended it in years because I don't like to drive down there through the city at night. I can. I'm not that disabled, but I am disabled. But I don't know. I just don't like going out there to the Red Cross. And it's a great place, but the older you get, the less you want to drive at night in the city. And this city's growing too fast, as you well know. Well, I was sitting here working on an anemometer in a weather station, and I'm going to replace the one that's out there. The anemometer's bearings, I think, are kind of like mine. They're getting scattered.
To work with your hands. Yeah, I don't really know where I want to go with ham radio. Right now I own a dual-band handheld that I was talking to the net to last night, and then I have this mobile here on my car. It's a Chinese Anytone. I installed it, just kind of figured out how to work it at lunch today. I had the repeater offsets wrong. They were going positive instead of negative, so I wasn't able to hit the repeater, but clearly I can now, so I don't know. I can. I am thinking about building one of those cactus antennas, the J-pole antenna, maybe this weekend to see if I can get a little better transmit out of that handheld, though that might be the next project.
An excellent antenna, and real easy to make out of some copper tube. It doesn't take much at all to access this repeater because it's 3,500 feet up on Caesar's Head Mountain, and it's well maintained. It's an excellent repeater. I don't use 440, so I can't comment on that, but I've heard people on here. In fact, I heard you talking to somebody today and mentioned that you were having a problem with the plus and minus. But I was over at the table eating or something, and I have a radio up there, too. I'm in the man cave right now. Normally, I don't turn this on of an evening, so, boy, it's been a real treat. I do a lot of Morse code. I worked a guy this morning. Well, one of my friends, W4NGU, North Greenville University, Phil, told me that our buddy Ariel, NY4G, was going to be up on a summit on the air today, and they go up and they activate summits. So I caught him on 80 meters on CW, and then I caught a gentleman, KG4MTN, like Mountain, and he was a POA, and I don't know what that was, and so does summits on the air. This was a POTA. It was parks on the air. So Phil texted me and told me what that was. And then just for kicks, I went over to 30 meters, and I worked a guy in Illinois just for fun. And but, guys, on CW, you can, let me drop this. You can make so many contacts, even now, when the sunspots are low. For example, looking at my log in the last, since the 1st, I've worked Hungary, England, the Azores, Poland, Russia, Turkey, Belgium, Bulgaria, Portugal, Wales, Croatia, Moscow. I never thought I'd talk to a Russian living through the Cold War. He was on 160 meters, and the Ukraine, Germany, and just et cetera, et cetera. It's a really great mode of ham radio. And there is a little bit on single sideband, but there's a whole lot more on CW.
Hey, Roger, I can see that I have a technician license now. I think I have a little bit of CW access. I've been playing with the idea in my head of building some kind of, a coder and learning Morse code. I don't know Morse code. I've got an app on my phone where you can play a little game and learn it. I don't know. Maybe that's the next place I'll go.
You really. You will never regret it. And a lot of guys are using those computer modes, which I don't consider ham radio, but that's Rouse's Laws. That's not ARRL. And they have a lot of fun with it. It's too automated for me. The computer does it all. You want to start with a set of panels. Don't start with a straight key. Straight keys are a pain in the gluteus maximus, and they'll ruin you. Now, I have friends that started on straight keys, so I don't mean to make enemies, but the paddles are the way to go. I had a 33 and a third RPM record and from Radio Shack and a straight key when I tried to learn back when I was a CB-er in the 70s, and I just give it up. And I still got that record, but I don't know where the straight key's at.
I don't know. I work full-time, you know, and GE's a pretty demanding place. I don't have a lot of time. Got two kids at home, got a wife, a lot of stuff I gotta do besides ham radio, but I am pretty excited to get out there and try whatever, you know, whatever comes my way. I think it'll be fun.
Oh, you got years to go. Years to go. And if you talk to Amy, ask her Rick's last name. I can't remember it, but he just retired, and he worked not far from Amy. And they get into some hectitious arguments at times. And Rick's so smart. And Robert's your boss up there, by the way. And he's really a great guy. But you know Amy. Don't tell her she can't do something. And she takes after her mother. She's kind of hard-headed.
Yeah, I think those names might be Rick Matthews and Robert Marshall. I think those are the two names you're talking about. And if it's Rick, I can talk to him and kind of pick his brain a little bit. I look forward to meeting him, or, you know, talking to him about this.
Yeah, he's just fantastic. And there's a lot of things, guys that were in your classification, and well, even mine, there's things that I can't talk about when it comes to acoustical warfare. And even nowadays, but he can tell you some exciting things that are not classified, and he's so bloody smart. I don't have a degree. I went to some college, and I took electronics technology engineering by correspondence for 4 years. I had an HVAC license. I have a commercial radio license, but I never did a degree, and I remember a GE engineer asking me to go to work for him one time that I met at our plant on a new machine, and he said, I don't care if you got an engineer in female anatomy, he says, but you have to have a degree, and so that cost me. I sure wished I had done that.
And the thing is, I mean, the degree's nice and everything. It says, you know, it says you finish something, you learn the basics, that kind of thing. But in a few years after you start working, it doesn't really mean much. It's kind of too bad. And I know GE does have that policy, and I've seen a lot of people suffer for it. A lot of good people who don't get raises or promotions or whatever because they don't have the right piece of paper. It's just kind of wrong. You know, if you can do the job, you can do the job.
I know some of the, well, I was on here the other day, and a friend of mine, KD5KX from up in, he's in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma now, and he was an engineer that I could call and talk to, or actually bring him in if I needed him, and he started out as a data system technician in the Navy, was there 6 years on a destroyer or frigate or something. And then he worked for Sperry Rand, I think on approach controls. And I don't know what all jobs he had, but it was just unbelievable back in the 70s and 80s. And he's one of the smartest engineers I have ever met in my not life. And, you know, he don't have a degree, Brian. Go ahead.
It goes. Some of the, the smartest guys are the ones that get in there and do it. They're not the ones who talk about it. They're the ones that do it. That's true in everything. In every single business, whether you're working with numbers and finance or you're building stuff, it doesn't really matter. The ones that do it are the ones that know it.
Well, you know, Amy's Amy's degree's in polymer engineering, and she did that at Toyota Technical Center for 2 years, and one other company up in Michigan, and she worked for GE for quite a few years up there, and then moved down here and did medical, and she just has a bachelor's degree. And the thing she does now, I've looked at those screens in her office, and I'm telling you, I don't have a clue.
I've been working with Amy for, it must be 10 years, maybe 12 years. She came on the scene about that time. I was working on the HA, still am, and she came in kind of as in a program management, technical program management kind of field. So she's been working on the same stuff I've been working on, the new class of gas turbine, and she's been great.
Well, thank you, Brian. I'm glad to hear that. We're awful proud of her. Our other daughter's up in Michigan, and she's a professional flautist with the Michigan Philharmonic. Her husband's an engineer, and he makes the foam in your car seats. And he's another brain, I'm telling you. Hell, he's in that Mensa Society, I think. But you never know it. He's a farm boy from Wisconsin. And we just feel blessed to have two children like that, and the grandkids, they're doing real good. We're proud of them as can be, and we moved down here, and I'll tell you what, Kansas may be the land of Oz, and that's O-Z, but this is the land of A-H-S, Oz, and boy, people ask me what I like about it down here, and I say, number one's the people. Number two's the peaches, and number three, I like the airplanes and all the scenery down here.
Roger, that's for sure. Been here, 20 years, the whole time I've been working for GE. I'm originally from California, and don't miss that a bit. We've kind of gotten used to it, too. This time of year, it gets a little cold for me. Maybe being from Kansas, you don't have that feeling, but it gets a little cold, but I do like the summer, the fall, and the spring, so I appreciate being down here, too.
That is the truth, Brian. I guess you got to take a little of the bad with the good, but overall, I think the genie's out of the bottle. That's why everybody's moving down here, and they're moving up here too from Florida. And that it's about the best compromise there is. And it seems to me, and I may be wrong, that we're mostly guarded by the mountains, and most of the time, we had tornadoes every year, multiple tornadoes, and thankfully we never got hit directly by them, but we had an F4 within 6, 7, 8, 9 miles of our house. Amy and Shelly stood out in the front yard and watched one go over one day, of which I tried to take pictures of and didn't have any film in the camera. I didn't know it. And I used to shoot industrial photography for the company I worked with. Well, I worked on variable speed drives and that on the machine tools. And we had everything from the smallest Bridgeport and lathes all the way up to a French Berthier mill that would swing apart 27 foot in diameter and maybe 10 foot high, and you'd put a 100,000-pound bearing on there and it'd finish at 80,000. So you know how that big stuff is down there at GE. Man, they have, and I had to service all the overhead cranes, the lighting, the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and everything else that maintenance does. And I had one electrician that worked for me, and that was all. And he didn't read blueprints very well at all. He knew how to wind motors, but he didn't know blueprints. But he was a great conduit runner and wire stringer. And I really appreciated him. He just knew things that I didn't. My mechanical ability just stunk. But I'll tell you, we live up here between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham, and it's kind of out in the country, and we got a few chickens, and Amy and Scott built a chicken house for us, and Karen and Ed put it on a trailer and brought it up here, their neighbors. And we're very thankful just to be here. We've got a nice home.
Well, I'm glad to be sharing the area with you, Tom. It's good to talk to you. I pulled into the driveway here. I got to go in and see if the wife needs me to do anything before dinner time and show her this big lottery ticket that I bought. So I'm going to have to go. This is KO4LAP, and I hope to talk to you again soon, Tom.
Well, you know, I haven't bought a lottery ticket in years. I thought about it today, but, you know, I haven't been one in over 2 years. And the only thing that I have wants for, that I could use money for, is I'd like to have, I used to work at Learjet when I first got out of high school for a couple of months before I got laid off bucking rivets on a Model 24. And I'd like to have access to a private jet. So if you win that, you know, me and Amy and Scott and the kids and all, if you get that private jet, you'll have to promise to take us someplace where there's casinos. My wife likes casinos, and we ain't been able to go now for a couple of years because of this COVID, or a year or so. Take care, Brian. Pleasure's all mine. KO4LEP and 0TR 73.
4LEP 73, good night.
Oh, I think I heard you in the background, but you're just too light to even talk to. Great deal of white noise, and I'm sorry about that, but you got a problem. Know who it is, Al? I know your voice. And other than that, you're maybe an S1. I doubt if you'd even move an S meter. You're really, really bad, I'm sorry to say. Boy, no joy. Couldn't copy you, Al. KI4LMN, I think it is. This is N0TR. Yeah, you need to get your antenna going or something, Al. You got a problem down there. And I got to go. Got to run down the hall. This is N0TR clear.